Let us seek the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that we can sing of Thy mercy. And we know, many of us here this morning, that Thou hast been merciful to us in saving our souls, setting our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus. O Lord, all of these things are because of Thy grace. And we pray that Thou wouldst pour Thy grace then upon others too, that we might rejoice together and sing Thy praises together and be truly part of that family of God. Bless us in this hour and enable us to hear, enable us to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. For in His name we ask. Amen. Friends, let us turn in our Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And our text, our main text, is found in verse 25 of Isaiah 43. And verse 25, the Lord says this. This is Jehovah speaking to His people, Israel. I, even I, am He that blotteth out Thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Friends, God is unique. There is no one like Him. There is no one beside Him. He is the creator of all things, and the sustainer, the keeper of everything in this world. Your life is kept by God, by God's power. And of course, this passage, this within the context of it, this is reference to Israel. But we see gospel truths in this passage too. Who has all authority? It is God. Who has all power? It is the Lord. Who has all ability? It is God. And here He says, I, even I, am He. What does He do with His authority? He is the only one, He says, who can blot out the guilt of sin. And God forgives. It says, for His own sake. That is, for His own glory. It does not depend on anything. It does not depend on you. It does not depend on anything related to us. It is to do with His own glory. For His own sake, He does that. And imagine that. What the text says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. What does that mean? Blotting out the transgression. Clearing it. Wiping it. Maybe at Sunday school there was the whiteboard here and the teacher was writing on it something. And then now if you were to look at it, it's all clear. Where did it all go? Someone wiped it. Where did it go? Something has happened. For it to be cleansed, to be cleared, it was wiped away. So too, God erases all our sins when we trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And so there is this expression found in the Word of God, another expression like this, about the Lord blotting out transgressions. And also about the fact that sins are not remembered any longer. Another expression in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, I'll read it to you, about forgiveness of sins. The Lord says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Have you ever lost something in the sea? Did you ever go in to get it? No, it goes deep and deep and deep. Where will you find it? It is lost. And this is what the Lord says here. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. There was an old hymn that went like this. I will cast in the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be, though they mount up to heaven, though they sink down to hell, They shall sink in the depths, and above them shall swell all the waves of my mercy, so mighty and free. I will cast all thy sins in the depths of the sea. Friends, our sins can only be forgiven through the fact that Christ died instead of sinners. And by repenting and by trusting in Him, God will blot them out, wipe them away, cancel them. And my friends, we have the promises of forgiveness. Here is a promise of forgiveness. And here is God's promise. Remember, God, what He says will come to pass. What He says is true. He will keep to His word. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. There are three things I want to say this morning about this text. First of all, we have a description here of those needing forgiveness. Secondly, we have the very declaration of the forgiveness. And then thirdly, we have in the passage a call to prayer for forgiveness, because it says in verse 26, "Put me in remembrance." So let us think about these things and apply it to your own hearts, friends. The first is the description of those needing forgiveness. Who is it that needs forgiveness? How does God describe this people? Well, He uses three different words to describe what Israel did. And what we do as well, we are no different. God talks about, in verse 24, of thine iniquities. Can you see that? Right at the end of the verse, it says, thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. What does that? The word iniquity refers to the crookedness of sin. Sin is not just sin, but it is crooked sin. There is wickedness in that. There is something devious in it. You say, that's a crooked man. What he does is crooked. You have to watch out for him. You can't trust him. There is something devious about sin. One English poet wrote, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And then the Lord describes them in another way. He speaks of them as being transgressors. Not just people who commit iniquity, but transgressors. And in verse 25, this is what it says, thy transgressions. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Transgressions means rebellion. Rebellion. When we sin against God, we are rebelling against God. It is rebellion. It's not a white lie, we say. It is not a very small sin we commit. We are simply saying, I rebel against God. I want Him to be gone. I want Him to be dead. It is a blasphemous thing that we do when we sin. We are opposing God's will. And finally, another word that describes them is simply sins. Thy sins. God is calling them sinners. And so it says that, and will not remember thy sins. Not very politically correct, not something that people will like to hear, but it is true. And the word sin, what does it mean? It means to miss the mark. And the Apostle Paul refers to this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is using sports language there, as the archer is now releasing the arrow. It misses the mark, it falls short. It does not hit the target. And that's what we do. That's what sin is. It's all the things that we fail in. In all the things that we offend God, we are failing in keeping His standards. And so, over against the promise of divine forgiveness, He places the record of human failure. There's human failure against God's forgiveness. And that's quite important for us. It helps us to see the contrast clearly. I wonder if you've gone to buy a ring, maybe a diamond ring, maybe some sort of a jewel, maybe some expensive watch, or you have simply gone to look. Sometimes people go window shopping, and you look. And have you noticed the background of things? Have you noticed the background of the scene that the shop owners make? If you ask for a ring, and if it is especially a diamond ring or some precious jewel on it, they don't just show it to you like that. They make sure that underneath it is a black, velvety sort of cloth. And then they put the ring on there. That's what they do. Why do they do that? To show you the contrast. It brings out the glories and the beauties of the ring or the diamond or whatever it is. The blackness, the dark blackness, it shows the beauty of the diamond. Isn't this what God is doing here? Against the dark background of human failure, God places the sparkling gem of divine forgiveness. That these people needed forgiveness is made clear from the context here. The nation of Israel needed forgiveness. We need forgiveness. Here we have a people who were guilty of a number of things. There is the sin of omission. He mentions the sins of omission. In other words, they omitted. They did not do what they ought to have done. They omitted to do those things that God commanded them to do. In verse 22, if you look at it, this is something that they did not do. They did not call upon the Lord in prayer. Do you call upon God in prayer? That's something they ought to have done, but they left undone. In verse 23, they did not bring sacrifices to God in worship. In verse 25, God speaks about thy sins. This emphasizes the fact that they did not meet God's standards. They did not meet the mark. You see, here were a people that withheld from God what was due to God. And all of us do that. We withhold from God what is due to Him. Have we not done the same? Do we not recognize this to be our own failure to meet God's standards? It's no use to say simply, well, everyone does this, but what about me personally? What is God's standard, you might say? The perfect law of God, the perfect life of Jesus Christ, that's the standard. What is the first commandment that God set before us? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Israel had just come out of that polytheistic Egypt, a land full of many gods and idols that they had made, and they were on their way to another polytheistic land of Canaan. And God said to them in the way, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In other words, God is saying, I am your only God. I am your maker. I must come first in your lives. God had scarcely spoken the commandment and the children of Israel violated it. They broke that. They made the golden calf, and this is what they said. These be thy gods, plural, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God demands first place in your life. Have you put him there? Have I put him there? Who are you putting first in your life? Is it a person? Is it something? You see, there are still the great gods of immorality, relationships, money, and our bellies too. Our pleasures, worldly pleasures that there are. But the Lord says, I must come first in your life. That is when we want to think about what is sin. We have to look at the law of God and examine ourselves as we look at a mirror, as you look at certain book that describes to you what's the standard, what's the qualification, what's the entrance level. This is the entrance level, perfection. And this is what God demands. Now that's only the first commandment. You think about another thing, that the Lord speaks of the sins of commission. Not just omission, not just the things that we don't do, but what about the things that we do do? Not only what they had not done is in view here, but also what they ought to have done, but they did that which they shouldn't have done. Isn't that what you do? Isn't that what I do? In verse 24, it says this, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." They had wearied God with their sins. What do we do? Do we recall what the Catechism says in answer to the question, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Do you recall what the scripture says in 1 John? We read in 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. What does God's law say? The law of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Are there couples being faithful in their marriages? In what they allow to enter into their thoughts and into their eyes and into their ears? Are we being faithful? You say, well, Pastor, I've not committed the act of adultery. But have you ever looked upon another person to lust after them in your heart? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. This is, in the sight of God, breaking of that commandment. Do you see how we can easily sin in our hearts? The law of God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you ever spoken the truth? Have you always spoken the truth? Or are there things that you wish you did not say because they were not really true? The law of God says, thou shalt not covet. Have you never had that hungry look for your neighbor's home or land or car or some possession? Are we not simply seeking to advance our earthly possessions, even though we have enough, but a little more? Have you not all of us? I'm not talking about individuals here, but every single one of us, myself included. If we have broken one, James says, one of these commandments, is as if we have broken all of them. So we must recognize that we personally and specifically and continually have broken the law of God, fallen short of God's standard. We are like everyone else, a sinner. Perhaps you're saying, well, what hope is there for a sinner like me? You're talking to a wrong man. A man said this to me on Friday morning. You're talking to a wrong man. No. Because we all need the Savior, I'm always talking to the right man. So if you're talking to someone and they say to you, no, you're talking to the wrong man. I've done so many things, you don't know. God is not interested in me. God will not save a man like me with my background. No, because we all need the Savior, we are talking always to the right person. There is hope, because we all need salvation. Well, notice here something else, that God declares forgiveness. The second thing is forgiveness declared. You see, one would have thought that after such a graphic description of the people's sins, we would read something like this. Let me put it like this. The Lord, we would think, He would say, I, even I, am He that will destroy thee and will burden myself no longer with care about thee. We might have thought this is what he would say. But no. You see, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Where wrath and anger of God is most deserved, mercy is most expressed. And surely, if pardon is offered to sinners who have wearied God with their sins, is there any reason why God would withhold pardon from us? From us now, today? I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. This teaches us a few things. It teaches us about a kept record. A kept record. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. That's telling you there's something written against you. There's something written, and so it must be cleansed. It must be blotted out. There used to be blotting paper and such things in the past. We don't use them now. We use the terms like delete. Deleting the words that is against you. This is a commercial term that the Lord is using. It's not a religious term. It's not a term that was used in the temple language, a religious language. It's actually a commercial term that was used. You see, it is to do with indebtedness. We are all indebted to God. Paul says, for in him we live and move and have our being. We owe everything to him. But when we trust Christ, God cancels that obligation. He wipes it out completely. And my unsaved friends, those of you who are yet not professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything you do, God records. That's an amazing thought. It may produce in your heart horror. This is what we read in Revelation 20 and verse 12, that actually you are actually writing books. You never thought you are writing books, but you are writing books. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Every thought you have, every word you utter, the Bible says they are being recorded. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. That was something that we were told last Lord's Day morning. God's truthful camera is on always. It's always on. It's always recording. God's recorder is playing. God's transcriber is writing. And friends, dear congregation, you are making books, and one day it all will be revealed. It will all be opened up. For the recording hand of God has kept an accurate and detailed record of everything in our lives. And everything. And my friends, that is quite a fearful thing. That is something that should produce within your heart awe and reverence for God. But that is a bad news for many of us here this morning. And you think, I don't want those things. I know what my life is like. I know what my thoughts are like. I know what my desires are like. What is going to happen to me? Well, there was the bad news, but then there is the good news. When we trust in Jesus Christ, remembering what He has done upon the cross, when we truly put our trust in Him and repent of our sins, God cancels the obligation. God cancels all of those condemning sins. It will be cancelled. He wipes out the record against us. Forgiveness. It comes from an old English term which meant to give up desire or power to punish. That's what it means. To give up desire or power to punish. Pardon, when we use the term pardon, it means to forgive. It is from the French. But forgiveness, that term, it's an old English term. And that's it. After we are forgiven, there is no desire in God. And there will be no reason for God to punish us. I read some time back, and I can't exactly recollect it, of this old lady in some Oxfordshire village. This old godly lady, quite an aged lady, who was dying. The parish minister came to see her. He was from a high Anglican sort of Anglo-Catholic church, and he went to see her, and he said, "I have come here to give you absolution for your sins." And she couldn't fully open her eyes or hear very well, but she opened her eyes and she said, "Can you show me your hands?" And so then he did. He thought that was a strange thing. He said, "Oh, there is no nail prints. There's no nail marks in your hands. Can you show me your side?" By that time, he knew what she was meaning. She said, "Only there is one who forgives me my sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me." She said, "Sir, you are an imposter. For the man who forgives my sins has a nail print in his hands." Friends, this is what forgiveness is. No religious leader, no priest, preacher, or pastor can forgive sins, but only God through Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But then something else. It is done for God's sake. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Of course, the Lord pardons us because he loves us, because we need him so urgently, because unless converted and truly saved, we are in danger of hell and judgment. But there we are told that God forgives our sins for his own sake. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, we read something similar. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." What does that mean? That is for his own glory. His own glory's sake. So that he might be glorified. To promote his glory and name. To reveal his attributes. You see the pardon that God offers you through Christ reveals his perfections. It is just like that diamond being displayed and radiating forth the beauties of it. His pardon shows God's wisdom. Infinite wisdom of God is shown in him forgiving a sinner like me, like you. God, through the cross of Jesus Christ, can be just and yet the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the wisdom of God. But then there is the infinite love of God that is displayed when he forgives someone like you and me. The infinite love of God in his compassion for the perishing, in his forgiveness of the repenting, in his kindness to the believing. His love is seen, but also his power is seen. Who would forgive us? Who would pardon us? Who would cleanse us? Who would wipe away my sins? Nobody in this world. They cannot do that. But in pardoning sins and in regenerating a sinner, God shows his power. He can do all things. So it is done for Christ, for God's sake, but also from God's memory. And will not, it says, remember thy sins. You see, when God forgives, he no longer brings to remembrance your sins against you. Now, when someone sins against you, or you will have memory. You won't remember the good things, but we all remember the bad things done against us. We don't forget. But do you forgive, my friends? Do you forgive those people? There may be some people with great heavy burdens upon their backs because they have not forgiven someone. Maybe from years ago, you've been carrying this load. Maybe it's a father-in-law, a mother-in-law, a brother, a sister, a husband, a child. And you have been carrying that. You've said you've forgiven, but you keep bringing it. It comes to your remembrance. You see, this is the difference between us and God. God, it says, will not remember thy sins. That is, he will not bring it against you anymore. He will not bring it up and says, look what you did. This is what you have always done. And so I will not forgive you or whatever. This is the term we use today. God will not bring any of those things. It says he will remember them no more. It's gone. Oh, are you carrying a weight this morning? A weight of unforgiven sins. Other people have done something against you. You have not forgiven them. Yet the Bible says we are to forgive. And then there is also your own sins that have not been forgiven because you have not come to the Lord through Jesus Christ. The scripture says this in Isaiah 38. When sins are forgiven by God, he throws them behind his back. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, it says in Isaiah 38 and verse 17. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's what Isaiah says. And then it says that the distance is, it cannot be measured. The distance of our sins from God, it cannot be measured. The psalmist says this in Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Even in Micah, it says, even to the depths of the sea, he throws them. Many years ago, before there was anything such NHS in the United Kingdom, well, in Scotland, there was a doctor, a Christian doctor, who had many people who would come to him, probably because he did not charge people very much. And then when he did charge them, they could continue on going to him without paying him. Of course, he had a book with their names. But then what he did from time to time, at the end of the year, when he found out that there are people who could not pay the bill, he just would write next to their name, forgiven. That's exactly what God does, forgiven. There's a great debt we owe, and through Jesus Christ, as we come to God, it is written, forgiven. The book of remembrance of all our bad deeds is not going to be opened. It's gone. It's no longer going to be set against us. And finally, let me say to you this. This passage, it calls us to pray. Pray for forgiveness. Pray to God for mercy upon our souls. Why do I say that? Look at verse 26. Straight away, he says, put me in remembrance. Remind me of my promises. That's what he's saying. Remind me of my promises. Plead them before me. You see, we are given encouragement here to bring to God the promises he has made to sinners like us. We are to go to the throne of grace and we will obtain mercy in our time of need. Put me in remembrance. Remind me of my promises. Become as sinners to a Savior. You know something, the best prayers repenting sinners can pray are those very promises of God. And what are some of God's promises? Well, listen to this one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you gone to the Lord in prayer, in the quietness of your heart, and call to the Lord and say, Lord, you've promised in your word that if I call, even me, call upon you, you would save me. And just now I take your word as it is, and I come to you sincerely with all my heart and say, Lord, I trust in Christ, forgive me. Or this other promise, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you gone believing in your heart and say, Lord, I have taken you at your word and trust in your Son as my Savior, so forgive me. Put him in remembrance, my friends, and put him in remembrance always, every day. And the word here is, I have blotted? No. I will blot? No. It says, he that blotteth out thy transgressions. It's present tense. It starts there and then, and it continues on. May the Lord help us then with all of these things, friends. Go to the Lord this morning. Go to the Lord at some point through the day and call upon God then. Put him in remembrance. And may the Lord bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the remembrance of Thy forgiving love. And we pray that each one of us, instead of carrying a load of sin upon our backs, we might turn to Thee who will take it off and forgive us. O gracious God, be merciful to every soul here. May we come back at a future date without that load, having written upon our names, forgiven. We ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we will sing together from Psalm 51, which is a psalm of repentance of David. He is reminding the Lord of many of God's promises too. In Psalm 51 and verses 9 through to 13, 9 through to 13, all mine iniquities blot out, thy face hide from my sin. Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within. Cast me not from thy sight, nor take thy Holy Spirit away. Restore me thy salvation's joy, with thy free spirit me stay. Psalm 51 and verses 9 through to 13.